Amen. Thank you, Brother Ted. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If you have the EBC app, you can pull up sermon notes. There's notes for the sermon in there today. If not, you can just follow along God's Word. All right? So we started in Romans about 4 weeks ago, and just walking through the first chapter slowly, taking our time, just chewing on it a lot, and just trying to absorb the truth that's so rich in Romans chapter 1. First week we see, the first few verses we see, and we saw a few weeks ago that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is all about God. And the good news in the gospel is good for us and to us, and we love it because in the gospel, we get God. He gives himself to us in his Son. We continue to read through here, and we see things like God does things in us when we are physically together. We see that in verses 8, 9, and 10, 11. Paul's longing to be with the Romans so that with an expectation that the Spirit of God would do something in them once they were physically together that he wouldn't do otherwise. And so we see that God actually takes the gospel deeper into our hearts when we're together and we're doing the things together that he's called us to do. Continue to read through this chapter and we see Paul's eagerness to preach the gospel in spite of what it might cost him. He tells us why in Romans 16. Look at that verse. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greeks. See that, we saw it last week, we see it in Romans 1:16, that declaration that Paul's not ashamed of the gospel. We talked about last week how for the majority of us and for the majority of us, the reason that we don't share the gospel more, the reason that we find ourselves silent about the good news of Jesus Christ, most of the time, relates one way or another to the fact that we are ashamed of the gospel. So last week, I was left challenged by that, and still am, frankly. And we get to a second reason that Paul, he said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel last week in verse 16, because it was salvation, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And he gives us a second reason in verse 17 here this morning. So read verse 17 with me. For in it the righteousness of God in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So this morning we're going to examine that second reason in verse 17 that Paul gives, that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Because in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. Let's bow our hearts together and ask the Lord to just lead us as we study his word this morning. Bow your hearts. Father, we love you. We ask that, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide each of our hearts and our minds. From the oldest that is among us to the youngest that is among us, from those that are in the sanctuary to those that are in the fellowship hall, to those that are listening by radio or online somehow, God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and understanding as we study your word. And not only that, but Father, we ask that you would give us a desire to see the truth of your word echoed in our lives, applied to our lives. God, where where we lack the desire to obey you, God, we pray that you would give us the desire to obey you. God, we pray for those who may be among us this morning that have yet to place faith in Jesus. We pray that you would grant them faith and repentance this morning, Lord. As a result of hearing your word, may they come running to you in faith this morning and find new life in Jesus. Lord, we love you, and we just ask that you would be glorified as we study your word this morning. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all ready? Three pieces of truth from Romans 1:17 this morning. I'm going to read it one more time, so turn your attention to your copy of God's word. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So we look at the first part of this verse. In it, we know from verse 16 that Paul is talking about the gospel. Verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In verse 17, he says, for in it. He's not ashamed of the gospel because in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. So let's just pause. As we always do in the midst of the sermon, at some point or another, we need to define what the gospel is. The good news of Jesus Christ, that we are sinners deserving of God's wrath and judgment. That by our sin, we have earned death. Not just physical death, but eternal spiritual death in hell forever, separated from God. That's what we've earned with our sin. But the good news is, because of his love for us, his grace towards us, and his great mercy towards our sin, God sent Jesus. Jesus came into our world, put on flesh, lived a perfect life. We haven't done that. Not even close, right? We don't do that, even as Christians. Not even close. We are sinners by definition, but Jesus was not. He was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. So while we live in this world and we sin over and over and over again, Jesus lived in this world and did not sin at all. He did that for us. Then he went on to die on the cross. So we deserve to die on the cross. We deserve death because of our sin, but the sinless one, Jesus, died instead of us in our place for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us and died on the cross in our place. And we know all of that to be true. As Christians, we bank all of our lives and all of our eternity on that. And we believe it's true because 3 days after he died, he rose from the dead, achieving complete victory over sin and complete victory over death. And all those who place faith, all those who believe in Jesus, are saved from their sin. They get to receive his righteousness, his perfection, and he takes their sin. And they're forgiven, redeemed, saved, as Brother Ted just sang. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's for everyone who believes. That's the gospel. And in the gospel, verse 17 says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith and for faith. First way that we see that the gospel is revealed that the gospel reveals the righteousness is we see in the gospel the righteousness of Jesus. So the main character of the gospel is Jesus, right? And in Jesus, we see the righteousness of God. So the gospel reveals God's righteousness in Jesus. Do you think about this for a second? The perfect Son of God. Matthew chapter 4, we also see this in the other gospels. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that after his baptism, Jesus was led out into the desert by the Spirit of God. And there, he fasted and prayed for 40 days, and he was tempted. Tempted heavily by Satan himself. Yet he did not sin. But not only that, you just think of Jesus' life, like the highlights of his life. Jesus had a mother and a father. He never disobeyed them. He never sinned. Jesus had siblings. And he never sinned. Can you imagine that? Those of you that grew up with siblings and have children in your house and grandchildren in your house and their siblings, can you imagine that? Like, they just don't sin. They don't sin against one another. That was Jesus. He had siblings. Did not sin. Pushed in his adult life and during his ministry, he was pushed and pushed and pushed by prideful, religious people, and he never sinned. He was a teacher of hard-headed, and at times hard-hearted disciples. He did not sin. He was rejected by his own siblings as an adult. His own mother had a believing in what he was teaching. He did not sin. He was rejected by his own Jewish people. He did not sin. Betrayed by one of his own 12 disciples. Didn't sin. Completely denied by one of his closest friends and disciples, Peter. Jesus didn't sin. He was unjustly arrested, unjustly accused, unjustly tortured, humiliated, spat on, slapped, mocked. He did not sin. And unjustly crucified. Which, by the way, is a death that is long and slow. And he did not sin. Not to mention just the everyday temptations of life. He didn't sin. He was perfect. He was perfectly righteous. And in him, the righteousness of God is revealed. Colossians 1, verse 15 says, the Son, speaking of Jesus, the Son is the image of the invisible God. In other words, if we want to see God and his righteousness, we look to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the little g God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As a Christian, it would do us well to meditate on the righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel. To meditate on his temptations and see, and just spend time looking at the fact that he did not sin. It would do us well to see that. Just to dwell on the righteousness of God that's displayed in Jesus. And non-Christian, if you're having a hard time believing in God and what he's like and what the Bible says, I would just encourage you to examine Jesus. In Jesus, you will see the righteousness of God. The gospel reveals God's righteousness in Jesus. You guys still with me? All right, let's keep rolling. Truth piece two that we see in verse 17. The gospel reveals God's righteous salvation of sinners who believe. Now, just look at verse 16 one more time. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now think with me for a moment. Chapter 3 of Romans says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. With the exception of Jesus, no one is righteous. In other words, everyone is a sinner. No exceptions. The Bible also claims that God is just. He's right in his judgments. In fact, the word righteous and justice are oftentimes the same word in the New Testament. They go hand in hand. So when we say that God is righteous, we're saying that God is just. And His justice that He delves out, His judgment that He delves out, is correct every time, all the time. He doesn't miss anything. He cannot be bribed. He's perfect in His justice. So it begs a question for us, and we need to think deeply about this. How does our God, who is perfectly just, in other words, those who go through His courtroom, which we all will one day, He never, ever overlooks sin. He always punishes sin correctly. How does a God who is perfectly just also save sinners without being unjust, without overlooking sin? How does He do that? That's where Romans 1:17 comes in. Romans 1:17. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. How's this work? Again, if our town or county of Grady County had a problem with bank robbers, and we had a judge who had more authority than our judges have, but we had a judge, and he just said, look, all the bank robbers will pay for all of their crimes with their life. By the end of next week, we won't have a bank robber problem anymore. He would be a just judge, delving out punishment as He sees fit. But someone might say, that judge isn't loving. He's not kind. He's not merciful. And someone else might say, well, He can't be kind, loving, and merciful and be just at the same time. The problem for us as sinners is most of us don't want a good and just God. We want a God who's more like a lenient mother that would be like, not my baby. Right? That's the kind of God we want when we stand in front of Him with our sin. Just begs the question, how can God be just and save sinners? Romans 3:25-26. Paul explains this. He says, speaking of Jesus, remember the perfect, righteous Son of God. He says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood. I'm just going to pause there for a second. I believe it's up on the screen. It is. There it is. Word propitiation, the simplest way for me to understand that word is substitute. So I'm a sinner. Jesus is the perfect Son of God, and God put Him forward to be my substitute, to take my place on the cross, to receive my just punishment for my sin. God put Him forward as a propitiation, a substitute by His blood, that is His death on the cross, to be received by faith. So in other words, I don't earn Jesus taking my place. I can't earn Jesus taking my place. Neither can you. We just place faith in Jesus as our substitute. And look at this. This was to show what? God's righteousness. So we see God's righteousness revealed in the gospel when He says, I'm a just, good judge. No sin goes unpunished. But I also, at the same time that I'm just, I love you, I'm merciful, I want to show you grace, and the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to put my son in your place. And he's going to pay the just punishment for your sin. He's going to be your substitute. So instead of you dying and paying the price for your sin, my perfect son is going to die and pay the price for your sin. And so you see, God didn't just leave off his justice. He didn't just become unjust for the sake of our souls. He remained just. His righteousness is revealed in the gospel, specifically in the cross, when he pours out his wrath on his own son for our sin. So that he might be just and the justifier. In other words, he justifies me by putting Jesus there in my place of the one who has faith in Jesus. So who does he justify? He justifies the one who places faith in Jesus, in them alone. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him," he made Jesus, "to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God." This is where every other religion kind of falls apart. And when I say religion, I mean everything from the Islamic faith to the religious churchgoer that hasn't placed faith in Jesus. Because they're depending on God to lay his justice aside to let them into heaven. They're depending on somehow their good works outweighing their sin, but their sin not being punished somehow, and God remaining just in all of that. And the gospel is the opposite of that. God remains just. He is loving and merciful and kind and gentle, all at the same time, because he takes his son and puts him in our place. Our sins are paid for. God remains just, and he justifies us all at the same time. In the gospel, his righteousness is revealed. It is shown to us in the gospel on the cross. That's good news. And we receive that, as verse 17 says, by faith, from faith, for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So let me just be extremely clear here. If we're a Christian, we should be all the more ready to praise God for his son. That is our substitute. Man, what a gift in Jesus. But if you're not a Christian, or if you're going, like, church has been more of just like a routine for me all my life, I just want to be very clear with you this morning. You cannot justify yourself with your good deeds. You cannot make your wrongs right by outweighing what you've done wrong. Only God can. And he's given you his son to pay for your sin, that he might give you life. And the way he's called you to receive that isn't by earning it. It's not by becoming a better person. It's not by becoming a more faithful church member. It's by coming to Jesus empty-handed and saying, "You did it. You did it for me. You did it all. You paid it all. And I believe." And that's it. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. The gospel reveals God's righteous salvation of sinners who believe. You hanging with me? All right. Truth Piece 3. Man, there's a lot in one verse, isn't there? Some of you are like, yeah, that's enough. Let's go. Just one more. This is it. The gospel reveals God's righteousness through saved sinners who walk by faith. From faith, for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith, Paul says in Romans 17. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, listen to this part, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul makes it clear, we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. And once we're saved by faith, we walk in righteousness by following the good works that Jesus planned before us, for us, before the foundations of the earth. He has things for you to do, Christian. He will empower you and enable you to do those things. But make no mistake, He has things for you to do. Second Corinthians 5:21, same one we looked at a moment ago. For our sake, He became sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So somehow, Jesus is taking our sin away from us and giving us His righteousness. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you heard the gospel and you placed faith alone in Jesus. You said, I can't do it. I won't be able to do it. But Jesus did. I believe it. I'm going to follow Him. And you were saved. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus then calls us to walk by faith, to live by faith. From faith, for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So if you're a Christian and you go, I'm saved, I'm good, like I'm just going to live until the Lord takes me home. In some sense that is true, but He wants you to live and walk by faith until the Lord takes you home. To do those good works He prepared before the foundations of the earth for you to do as His child, walking by faith until He takes you home. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by faith, do these things. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by faith, display the righteousness of God. As Romans 8 says, by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh. As Romans 13:14 says, and put on Jesus. You know what this looks like, don't you? You know that man or that woman or maybe that couple in your life that just oozes Jesus. They're patient and kind and gentle. Joyful. Even when the other people in their life aren't, they are. Even when you have seen them in the midst of suffering, they are those things. The righteousness of God being displayed in one of His children. The gospel reveals God's righteousness through saved sinners that walk by faith. It's a Christian. Are you? I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm asking if you are walking by faith. If you are not walking by faith, you are not displaying God's righteousness. You can't apart from faith. But He saved you to display His righteousness. And that's one of the ways that he displays, he reveals his righteousness through the gospel, is by those he has saved walking and living by faith. I bet if you're an unbeliever, you're not a Christian, you still know what this looks like. I bet you know a Christian in your life that they're just different than everyone else. And you can't put your finger on it, but they claim it's Jesus. And I just want to second that this morning. It is Jesus. It's his Spirit displaying his righteousness in their life. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not a Christian, examine the life of Jesus. Know that it is the righteousness of God that you're peering into when you see that Christian in your life walking and living by faith. Joyful when everyone else wouldn't be. Patient when no one else would be. Kind and gentle no matter what. Just like Jesus. And so we call you to that same faith this morning. If you're not a Christian, we call you to him. We would love to show you in the Word what it means to place faith in Jesus alone. So that you can have life and life eternal. So that you can walk by faith and display the righteousness of God by the power of his Spirit in your life. So that you can be saved and sing the song that Brother Ted sang earlier today. Just let us know. We're going to sing. If you're here and you're ready to give your life to Christ, you can come forward. I'll be up here. If you're listening to us by radio or some other way, you can message us online or call us or call my number. It'll be displayed on the screen at the end of this service. We'd love to talk to you and show you what it means to place faith in Jesus alone for the salvation of your soul. If you're a Christian, don't we have enough reason to sing today? In the gospel, God has shown us his righteousness in his Son, in placing our sin on his Son on the cross and giving us his righteousness simply by calling us to faith. Don't we have a good God? He is just and loving and merciful and his grace abounds. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise your wonderful name. We thank you that in the gospel your righteousness is revealed. In your Son Jesus, we see the image of the invisible God. We see the righteousness of God. And on the cross, we see your righteousness. That no sin goes unpunished. Either it is your wrath is poured out on sin, on your Son, on the cross. Or for those that are outside of Jesus, they will experience the just punishment of their sin for all of eternity in hell. But Father, you are just, and we praise you for that. And we praise you for the salvation you've given us in Jesus. For him becoming our substitute. For him becoming sin, although he knew no sin, that we might become your righteousness. Father, I pray that if anyone is contemplating placing faith in Jesus, we pray that they would, Lord, grant them faith and repentance today, we pray. And Father, we pray that as Christians for the rest of this day and the days ahead, Lord, that you would help us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk by faith in your righteousness by your Spirit. Lord, we love you and we praise your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness.